advertise, email podcast@thisismaji.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Maji.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Welcome to Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. It's the final game of the first round of the UEFA Euro 2024 and still a three-horse race for that last DStv Premiership spot. This is Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Joining me on the show today, Tseppi. Hello, darling.
Hi, darling. How's it?
Good, thank you. And everybody's favorite super sub.
Danko, a.k.a. Carlos for today, Marco.
Carlos, o senhor, obrigado, pa. Thank you for joining us.
Wow.
we've just passed the best game for me so far in the Euros, Turkey against Georgia. Wow.
What a game. End-to-end stuff.
For me,
I didn't even check it out, Marco. I'd like you to give me a synopsis.
Sure. Quality goals. Arda Güler, the 19-year-old Real Madrid star, scored goal of the tournament so far for me.
That was a cracker of a goal. Eh?
Cracking goal.
And we actually spoke about him sometime in the show. Remember, Marco, you were looking for that name at some point.
Right, right. We've spoken about him a few times even, I think.
Oh, what a game. For me, it's the way those teams were pressing each other, you know. There was no room for anything. There was not a moment where you will like doze off in that game, actually.
Nice.
If anyone slipped at any point, it would have been a goal. And Georgia were a post's length away from equalizing. It was a whole thing.
And how was the finish? You know, the goalkeeper goes all the way to try and score the goal. And then the Turkish keeper just punched the ball and then it was a counter.
Yeah, so.
Unreal. Do you think it was wise for a goalkeeper to go for it? I don't think so, you know, because I'll tell you why I'm saying that, Marco, because you're playing your first game, right? You don't want to concede too many goals. You know, you are 2-1 down. Just stay on your post. Don't be...
I agree. It's the first game of the tournament, although his player's legs must have been gone.
Yeah, I felt like it's not a final. You know what I'm saying? I know it was intense, but for the goalkeeper to go all the way now, their goal difference it's crap because
that's
of that decision.
Mm-hmm. That's and the it thing. Can it's come the back to haunt them. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They had a deficit as we speak.
Yeah. So they ended up losing 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so two minus goals two. Now.
Yeah.
You know. So I think it was not smart of a keeper. But hey, had it scored, would have been speaking a different language, I suppose.
Going into the comments here, the big Ebby saying Carlos is crazy super sub. King, thank you for the warm welcome back. And Desejo, I agree, the best game of the tournament so far, Georgia versus Turkey.
Now,
Portugal absolutely going at it at the start of this game against the Czech Republic. Really pushing hard, looking to create opportunities. But we know the skill and the quality in terms of attacking players that Portugal have, super sub.
No, Portugal has got quality. But one thing that I've realized with this tournament so far is that it does look like your quality does not mean anything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I agree. The underdogs have performed well, all but Scotland.
They must just stick to making whiskey.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a bold.
What was that?
After that performance.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so I think if you were to say game of the first round so far, definitely Georgia-Turkey, this game that's just passed. But performance of the first round, Germany.
No, definitely. I think they're the host. You know, it's an opening game. I didn't expect anything less, you know.
Right.
But for me, the game today it's the game that I think set the tone for me. I think from here on, usually tournaments start very slow. I think from here on, we're going to see the Euros actually getting more exciting.
I agree. And I think overall, you know, Germany was, you know, bound to come out with guns blazing like they are hosting. And I think, you know, since they have gotten their new coach, I mean, he's been there with them since last September. We have seen a positive change from them. And, you know, we were talking about how things were a bit iffy when they still had their previous coach. But, you know, it's nice to see that it's a German team now that looks as though they want to win this and potentially could. It was also quite pleasant to see some underdogs, in inverted commas, also come in and just show that they are here and they are here for business. And sometimes the boys or the teams, rather, that we think, you know, are not a walk over, really did struggle. I mean, for example, Austria was not a walk in the park, you know.
Albania. And
precisely. Albania was also not a walk in the park. Who would have
thought Albania will be doing such big things?
You know what I mean? We baked them very quickly, right? But that was not the case. So it's going to
Slovenia,
be quite...
Slovenia, Slovakia.
Yep. Not a joke. You know what I mean? So it's also quite nice. But I mean, it's still the first match, really. And sometimes what normally happens is that some teams still have... you know, but some jitters, maybe mentally they have not eased into it. So we'll see what happens.
When it's three games, you don't have a lot of time to get into it. But we have seen, I mean, Argentina comes to mind for starting their first game very poorly and then going on
Spain
to be
as well.
Spain as well, right?
Yeah. Portugal.
Speaking of Spain, I know you're a big fan of Spain, Tepi. I think for me, they were my second pick in terms of like really impressive sides.
I agree. And you know, Marco, we know Spain to kind of be... you know, so lethargic sometimes and circumlocution going from here to there. And it's never really been visually an interesting match when it comes to Spain. And it is so nice and it's so rewarding to watch the Spain that we saw. You know, they are really intentional. You know, they are very direct. So something that we have not seen. And I feel as though, you know, the coach still has so many tricks up his sleeve. And I don't think people had anticipated the Spain that came out to win. Was it a 3-0?
Yep, it was
there
a 3-0.
Yeah.
And another thing that I've picked out in this tournament so far is the youth. A lot of young players
beautiful.
In this side.
I mean, that Yamin young man.
Yeah.
You know? It's beautiful, man. It's Lamine beautiful
Yamal,
to see.
Yeah. The young Barcelona star, 16 years old, had to bring his schoolwork with him.
How nice.
To Germany. Yeah, and he's doing class over Zoom.
Yeah.
While ripping it up in the Euros. Insane.
Imagine that.
Imagine. Yeah. And the story is that he's actually only turning 17 the day before the final. So, you know, how nice would it be as a present for him if they get as far as the finals and, you know, even
and
win
it
and that's
it
his present.
Portugal.
And
yeah,
then
I
he
agree.
Loses. Wow, Marco. But yeah, man, such great talent.
That was cool
and
him.
It's very nice. You know, so yeah, man, it's nice to see a combination of the more experienced guys and also having really, really young players come in. It's something great to experience. I'm not going to lie.
And the first opportunity for one of the greats of this tournament, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, no, we're seeing, you know, I was just talking about it with a friend earlier that, yes, as we're seeing all these greats coming back, you know. I mean, we saw N'Golo Kante, what he did yesterday,
the ground
that he covers, you know. You see a player like Cristiano Ronaldo starting this game. You saw Marko Arnautović coming back as well, you know.
And I think one
Mitrovic as well. So it's interesting
Mitrovic
to see.
At his age.
The blend the blend of the youngsters and all these...
Well, if we look at Portugal, for example, who's playing now, they've got, I think, one of the youngest players at the tournament. João Neves, the 19-year-old midfielder
19.
From Benfica.
Isn't he 17?
19 years old.
Okay.
But then he's not the youngest in the tournament.
No, one of the youngest. He's the youngest in the Portugal side. Wow. But I think Portugal have the two oldest players in the tournament in Pepe and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yo, Pepe is a grandfather. Hey?
Yeah.
And the nation.
The last tournament, the first tournament that Pepe played in was in 2008. But Cristiano Ronaldo's first tournament was back in 2004. 20 years ago.
Greece. They made it all the way to the final, eh?
They did make it all the way to the final.
Okay. I think I
just,
still remember.
Just hold on any more information on that for now, please.
Oh, sorry.
We've got a quiz coming up.
Oh,
but
flip.
Ballers, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, if you are a new user on the Betway app, please use the affiliate code ONSIDEZA. It helps us out a lot. And of course, we are big fans of Betway here. Super sub.
Yeah.
Those bet slips. Oh my goodness. Those upsets were thrown. I was upset that because I thought Denmark would win their game. So I put Denmark for a win because win or draw, the odds were too low. So I was like, okay, let's give Denmark the win. That ruined my multi-bet for round one.
Yeah. No.
But it's okay. My multi-bet would have been ruined anyway. I mean, a single goal in the France game, I was going 2.5 over. Belgium to lose their opener, I didn't see that coming. So I was feeling good on the first 5-6 fixtures of the tournament. I was sitting pretty and I thought, this is a nice big payday for me. And then it turned around.
Wait, didn't you go for Croatia against Spain?
No, I definitely went for a Spain win. I was just being cheeky with you guys last week. I definitely went for a Spain win there.
So you decoyed us?
I decoyed
and
you.
Remember, I
even mentioned the Scotland thing.
Yeah, yeah. So my bet slips, I mean, started off with Hungary. Obviously, Germany I knew was going to win and I did say it. I did say the Swiss were going to win and they did 3-1. I did say Spain is going to win. I did say Italy. It got tricky on the Sunday, you know, because that's when we saw, you know, I thought that Denmark was going to win against Slovenia, and it was a stalemate. Mm. So that kind of messed up my draw. My slip, because I did a multi-bet, but I did not go into detail as to say who's going to score by how much. You know what I mean? Mm. I just chose like which team is going to win because I wanted to keep it safe. So that kind of messed me up. And the other one that got me messed up, let me see. Oh, yes. Belgium. Ukraine and Romania. Actually said it was going to be a draw.
So I avoided that fixture on my actual bet slip because I thought that one could go either way. And mm-hmm. Romania really showed their mettle in that game. Difficult for Ukraine, difficult circumstances for them. They're in the tournament, in a tournament they're allowed to compete in that Russia is not allowed to compete in. So interesting one that as Portugal continue to pile on the pressure here and Czech Republic seemingly absorbing it quite well. Super sub?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think... and again, when you play a team that is so star-studded like a Portuguese team, you don't want to be too overzealous. You know, you want to try and, I always say this, you want to try and absorb the pressure and hope that you can catch them on the counter, you know. Absolutely. And I think that's what the Czech Republicans are trying to do here.
Yeah, Portugal showing some real quality so far. But the first question before we head into our quiz, guys, who is this?
Oh, that's Clive.
That's Clive Barker.
That's Clive.
No, it's not Clive Barker. It's me playing Aviator again.
Oh, you suck. Yeah. You suck.
I've been playing Aviator because of your chance to win a share of that 5 million rand payday simply by placing 2 rand or more bets in the Aviator app. Super sub, you can back me up on this one. And you don't even have to win to go into that draw to be one of those lucky winners to share that massive grand prize. So I've been... like I was saying, because this tournament's been a little bit difficult and I'm having a lot of fun, there's another betting system that we're going to talk about a little on, because there's a few things that I want to elaborate on now, specifically with the Euros. But because some of these fixtures have been tough to call, I'm having more fun playing the Aviator game than I am on the sports betting, which is strange for me because I normally love the football sports betting side of things more. But Aviator's just been really fun at the moment.
But let me tell you, you know what, Ned? I think both, like, my friend, like, you know, it's you are between sometimes a rock and a hard place, or sometimes it's like two marshmallows, you know? If you are doing well when it comes to your normal bets, then you are very happy. And in fact, because you're so happy, you want to just give a young 2 rands, because you can play for as little as 2 rands, right? And go into the Aviator app, and then lucky enough, you end up getting like 46 rands or even more, right? But sometimes just when you think, you know what, it's that time, let me just cash out quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but I think that's the thrill about
that's
it.
That's the thrill.
And it's so, you know, it's so exciting. It's crazy. Like, I started playing Aviator for the first time. I was actually telling Super Sub that, woo, what a roller coaster. Hey.
It's a nice game, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, very addictive.
Yeah. In a good way, though.
In a good way, yes.
You know, it's quite entertaining. And, you know, it's funny that we always talk about how, you know, during halftime when you don't have anything else to do with your time, just go onto the Betway app and just play Aviator. It's a real thing and it's real time, you know? And that's what I appreciate about it. But hey, let me tell you, man, I made some money, I lost some money, I made some money again, and then I realized that, you know what, Zip, you need to stop.
Hey, that's the most important part, is knowing that you need to stop.
Winners know when to stop. Yeah.
And gaming is fun. It's not a source of income.
It's not a source of, we do it for fun.
We do it for
not
fun.
Not a salary.
for banter.
And obviously we all love a good win.
Yep.
But we know how to manage it. It's very important to do that. Into the comments here, Set Apart Hustler saying, Tseppy Worldwide, hello, darling. Romeo, saying Ronaldo's going to get a brace today. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, given how he played the last time.
And then there's another two comments I want to get to here. Mako Berry Studios, sorry I'm late. No problem, buddy. No problem, baller. Where is Len? Len's had some serious car trouble. So, guys, please send him lots of love. I'm sure he's going to be seeing this.
Yeah, he's on gonna his be watching feed. On
he's
going
to be watching on his side. So please send lots of love to Len. Len, we love you. Sorry. Sorry, brother.
He should be back next week with Len's rant.
Yeah, Len's rant will come back next week. And one of the most important comments here, and a little something I'm excited to talk about, is Mashubane saying, did Betway renew? Betway did renew. Onside ZA will be brought to you by Betway for another year, guys. Yes. We're so happy to announce that here with all of you. And it's a big thank you to you, the ballers. You're such a big part of this family and part of the thing. So big, big thank you to Betway as well.
Yep.
We couldn't be any happier.
We couldn't do this without Betway.
And there's so many people behind the scenes at the podcast and Chill Network. And a lot of them are like, guys, you know, is there another direction we want to look?
What's happening?
And we were like, we can talk about other things elsewhere, but Betway first. That's our main thing. So we're just super happy to be sticking with Betway. And lots of great news still to come as we tick off into the 16th minute or 17th minute rather of the Europa League fixture between Portugal and the Czech Republic.
It looks like it's raining.
The scores remain at 0-0 and there's constant rainfall so far. But yes, it's great news. We do love Betway, guys.
Let me just quickly interrupt Marco.
Sure.
Kalanga saying, no watch along, Nyana. Okay, so we figured that we're going to have a watch along, but much later, right? Well, as the competition progresses?
Yeah, no, definitely. The competition progresses.
It's still premature, though, right?
Yeah, we'll definitely have watch alongs. Probably two or three, you know.
Yeah, there's a couple watch alongs coming either for Copa, depending on the time zones and stuff like that.
Yeah, starting 25th June.
Yeah, so we've got Copa on the way, which might make it difficult because of time zones, but there'll definitely be at least one, maybe two Europa League live watch alongs as well. Shots. Behind the scenes there, I want you to tick us over because we've got a cool Europa League game. Before we switch away from the Europa League, this is exciting. It's a first time and an introduction to Marco's quiz.
Oh, Marco's quiz.
Brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Yeah. So, Shots, if you can bring up that Marco's quiz there.
Is it difficult? It better not be difficult. If it's difficult, I'm walking out of here.
It's a little bit difficult.
Why?
I'm sorry, darling.
But why would you do that? Like, guys.
Some of them are difficult. There's one super easy one.
Marco, just love me, bruh.
There's one super easy one.
Yeah.
And super excited to be bringing this to you. Sorry for the
Yes.
That's a valid comment.
That's always saying that Copa will make Vinny. I don't know if Vinny's going to win, but it might also just increase his chances. Go Ballon d'Or.
That's true, hey?
Yeah.
And even Jude Bellingham, I think he was the standout player for England this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he knows it.
He's a stellar player. Yeah. So I think a Real Madrid player once again winning Ballon d'Or. Are we going to be at all surprised? But let's get to Marco's Europa League quiz. Brought to you by Betway. Get way more. So the first question on the quiz, who were the surprise winners of Euro 2004?
This I'll give to Tepi.
Who were the surprise winners of Euro 2004? Massive underdogs. They were the lowest ranked team as the tournament
starts. Give us a hint.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
They are, first of all, they're surprise winners. But if you think of the ancient Europeans, like an ancient European nation. Yes.
Greek?
Yes. Greece.
Greece. Yeah, they're Greek.
Well done, darling. Greece were the champions of the surprise champions of the 2004 Euro Championship. Super Sub, I'll give you the bonus question on this one. Who did they beat in the final?
It is Portugal.
Yes, it was. It was a 1-0, right?
And that's something that I'll never forget. Why?
No, so, I only Googled now, Fred.
Close the tip. Close the laptop.
No, it's going to switch off. I need it.
Okay, made it face that way.
The second question for Marco's Euro quiz.
If we are not getting it, we're all not getting
okay,
it.
Okay.
One nation has all three of the top appearance makers in the Euro Championships. Name the nation. So individuals who have, so players who have the most appearances in the finals of the Euros. The top three appearance makers at Euros all come from one country. What is that country?
It has to be Spain.
It's not Spain.
Okay. So the plus. So,
maybe I don't understand the question.
Okay, if it's not Spain, okay, he says that.
So
okay.
Players who have made the most appearances, so individual players, I'm not talking about team appearances.
Like
individual players. So
games
like.
Games or tournaments?
Games, appearances, games at the tournament. Players who have a certain number of appearances. So, for example, if Germany go all the way in this fixture, then like Musiala will have made 6 appearances at the finals.
Okay, you want the name of the players?
The name of the country that has the top 3 players.
Okay,
but
can
you give
me
the
two
players
options
if you want. And then
he'll give me the players. Can I give you two options? Yeah. I'm not sure, ne? But I'm looking at the ones that are oldest. Mm. Does that make sense? Because if they're older, then that means they've played longer, correct?
Absolutely.
That's my logic.
Yeah.
Either Croatia or Portugal.
Super Sub.
Germany.
Okay. Not Germany, not Croatia. You said Portugal, it's Portugal. The top 3 appearance makers of all time in the Euros is Cristiano Ronaldo, Pepe, and João Moutinho have made more appearances than any other players at the Euros.
Exactly. You know what I was thinking
about?
See my logic, right?
Thomas Müller
is one of the big appearance makers, but he's not as many as Ronaldo, Pepe, and João Moutinho. They make up the top 3 appearance makers at European competition.
Makes sense. Well, I figured how long have they played? How old are they? So naturally, that would mean they'd make more appearances than anyone else.
So Cristiano Ronaldo's made the most appearances. He's also the all-time leading goal scorer at the Euros.
Yes.
Which iconic player did he overtake for the honor of the leading goal scorer? Iconic attacking player.
From where?
From the 1980s is when he was in prominence. He was the leading goal scorer all the way from the 1980s until recently, where Cristiano Ronaldo overtook his total goal scoring record at the Euros.
Where is he from?
Spaghetti.
No.
Okay. Spaghetti the coach, actually.
Okay, he's French. An iconic French player. I've got one more hint in my bag. Okay. From the 80s. An iconic French player who won the tournament with France in Paris in 1984.
It was a forward.
He's a forward player from the 80s.
If he scores, I'm sure he must be a forward, no? Mm. Or even a mid, though.
Oh, he's an attacking player.
A clean forward.
Let me see. It is.
Come on, Super Sub. Okay. You are alive.
It's definitely not Thierry Henry.
No, the 80s, it was a bit before Henry.
But he played in 98.
He played in 84.
84. No, I don't
know. That's you, darling. I think so. Could be the laptop. So, Super Sub, here's your last hint. Right?
Yeah.
He was the president of UEFA.
Oh, Michel Platini.
Michel Platini. Michel Platini is the second highest goal scorer at European Championships still to this day with 9 goals, which he scored in one single tournament.
Wow.
He scored 9 goals in the 1984 edition of the Euros, the men's Euros.
Sorry, guys. Mm.
So, Super Sub, you were alluding to this a little earlier on in your answers, and your thinking was around this. Which club has the most representatives to have attained winners' medals?
It has to be Barcelona.
Or Madrid,
between the two.
So, they're both the second and third in terms of players who have got winners medals.
Okay.
So you're in the right thinking in terms of Spain having won a lot of tournaments. Surely there's a lot of Spanish players who are represented.
Yeah.
Who's the other country to have won the same number of European champions? Okay. So name the club. Tepi.
It's Bayern Munich.
It has to be Bayern or Leverkusen.
It's Bayern Munich.
Okay.
Bayern Munich has the most representatives. Obviously, with their strong German core, they have the most winners' medals for players that who represent while representing Bayern Munich won the European Championships.
Okay.
Okay. Tepi, this one's for you. Who's the youngest player to appear at the finals of a UEFA Euro tournament? And by the finals, we mean the tournament proper, not the necessarily
about now, right?
The final.
We're talking about Yamin.
Yamin Lamal.
Yes.
Lamine Yamal is the youngest player to ever make an appearance at the Euros. A player who might well have been playing at AFCON. That's just passed.
They don't want to play for Africa.
Because he had the opportunity to represent Morocco, which is now no longer an availability for him because he has represented Spain at senior level.
Okay, but if you were with Yamin, would you be patriotic and play for your home country or just go straight?
No, you go to Spain.
What would
it's
you do
the
to
biggest
piss
club.
Up? I know
it's
how sentimental he is, and that's why I want to hear from him. Like, well, what do you do?
If you?
You are Yamin. You are 16, 15 years old. And you have an opportunity to play for your home country in AFCON, or you play in the Euros for... I mean, you already scored two goals.
For me, you know, the answer is very simple.
Which is?
I'll represent my country.
What I tell you.
You know, I don't understand why...
But he was born in Spain.
Well, it does not matter. You are a Moroccan by descent. And your ancestors are...
Moroccan.
Moroccan.
Therefore...
The thing is, you have an opportunity to win trophies with Spain.
I think playing for your country, it's bigger than winning trophies for me. I think at the club level, yes, you know.
He'll win trophies at Barcelona anyway.
You know what I mean? But I think for country, you know, it's about patriotism, you know, representing the flag, you know. What does your country mean to you, you know? Clearly doesn't see Morocco as his country, but for me, I'll always respect players that actually choose their own countries.
The final question for Marco's Euro quiz. Who won the first UEFA Euros tournament? This is the final question from the quiz. I'll give you the first hint. This first UEFA Euro competition was in 1960.
Something, yeah.
1960 was the first edition of the men's Euro. It was four teams at the European Championship. of a total of 17 who could have qualified,
It was Iwisa spectacular.
straight to the semi-finals, but there's one team that won the first edition.
May I start?
Sure.
I'm going to go with England.
So it's not England. Actually, funny enough, England's yet to win this competition.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You, Super Sub?
Sure.
They're not participating...
They're not participating
at this tournament.
Is it Scandinavian?
No, not Scandinavian.
Okay, go.
Another hint. They're not participating in this tournament.
Russia.
There's the answer. It's the Soviet Union won the first edition of which in 1960 was during the Cold War. So it was a massive political issue that the Soviet Union were allowed to participate in this tournament along with West Germany and the likes of thereof.
So it sounds as though Russia or, you know, the USSR have always had a strained relationship with UEFA. Or FIFA?
Well, not necessarily with UEFA. It was just political from a public standpoint. And the Soviet Union at the time was made up of some East Germany players as well, obviously, because at the time it was before the fall of the Berlin Wall and the East Germans
were
able to represent the Soviet Union at that time, whereas West Germany had like independence in terms of their ability to compete in these competitions.
Yeah.
So that was Marco's Euro quiz.
It was stressful.
Brought to you by Betway. Get way more.
Nice one, Marco.
It was stressful.
Super Sub, you can close this up so we can get back to our game and watch that. Oh, give me a second before you do that, actually. Thank you, guys. Thanks for participating in our UEFA Euro quiz. You can have your computer back now. As Portugal and Czech Republic continue at 0-0. Your surprise player so far of the tournament?
Surprise player in what sense, Marco?
Who's really surprised you in terms of the quality of their performance? How good they were?
I wouldn't say it's a surprise. It's a surprise that they still have it. You know, and I mentioned the player earlier.
N'Golo Kanté.
That guy, he is just amazing.
Evergreen. What a player.
What a player. The ground that he covers, you know. That man is just all over. Where the action is, N'Golo Kanté is there. You know, he's still making those interceptions. He's still winning those duels. He read the game so well. You know, a lot of people were questioning Didier Deschamps as to why would you leave Tchouaméni and Camavinga out, you know, the Champions League winners. And I think N'Golo Kanté just went and answered
the critics for
the
that
critics,
one, right?
You know, because, I mean, winning man of the match and in a manner in which he did, I mean, there were so many crucial moments when N'Golo Kanté was the savior.
Absolutely.
I agree. And I think, you know, it's nice for him to also come back. I mean, he has not played for the national team in a good 2 years. And it was so pleasant for him to come back and come back, you know, with a vengeance, in inverted commas. And generally, that's what you expect, though, from, you know, a full-on midfielder, which is what he really is. And, you know, I would have expected probably the same thing, and maybe you guys will tell me if I'm incorrect in this, that I would have expected a similar performance from the likes of McTominay. I don't think that, I mean, they play the same position, correct?
Yeah, I think McTominay, especially from a Scottish perspective, plays in a more tactical role.
No, man, McArnold from England. Yes, guys.
Declan Rice, who plays in that position, and Cristiano Ronaldo threw on goal.
Continue.
And another shot on target. Although Cristiano Ronaldo may have been flagged for offside there. But yeah, Declan Rice is going to be key for England going forward, because I think he's really important for England. I don't think they can replace him.
No, he's very, very important.
If Declan Rice doesn't stay fit this tournament, I think it's very detrimental to England's chances. And Jude Bellingham is also a key player.
No, definitely.
And you would think their captain, Harry Kane, is the one that you say, like. But I think that with the backup options that they've got on that bench, with an Ollie Watkins, for example, I think that England have enough depth actually in that Harry Kane position. But Declan Rice, critical, and Jude Bellingham, critical for England.
No, definitely. And for some odd reason, I just feel like...
Trent Alexander, sorry, guys.
Trent.
Yes. I was saying I was expecting
that
from...
He does sort of play in that, but he
is not a natural...
Sorry, man.
He's not a natural mid.
Exactly.
Is a fullback.
Yes.
Trent Alexander-Arnold's a difficult one because he sort of is in between a fullback and a midfielder, because he does both of those roles quite well.
And he's not
well.
Good at midfield.
But sure.
Did you see that mistake?
Portugal in on goal and well defended once again by Czech Republic. They are holding on by the skin of their teeth. Hey, Shots is excited in the back there.
We know where he put his money on. So I was saying, Marco, I was still making a point. You know, I strongly feel like Gareth Southgate does not necessarily know how to utilize his players. He's got so much talent on his disposal, but the way that, I don't know if it's the formation, if it's, I don't know, there's just something amiss with that team.
But what do you think is amiss, my friend? Because I'm Walker playing a right back naturally.
That works.
That's perfect.
If you look at a player like Foden, half of the time he's cutting in, looking lost. You know, I don't know. You know, I just.
Do you think Southgate's regretting not bringing in Rashford or Grealish?
I don't think at this point he does.
Not as yet, eh?
Not as yet.
No panic stations yet. But I think that when he looked at his bench, he's like, jeez, am I short on options here?
You can't be short of options. I think you just need to get the best out of what you have, you know. But again, you're talking about players that
I mean, in terms of options of changing how you're going to approach a game. So when you need a change, when you need like someone who's more direct on as a winger, does he really have very direct wingers available? That is other
and
than
a dynamic
Saka.
Winger at
but
that.
If Saka's not working,
Yeah.
But Saka was actually better. You know, Foden was a person.
The goal came from him, you know? Yeah.
The right-hand side of the pitch was Foden working quite well. Is that you look at Kyle Walker and Saka on that right-hand side. Mm-hmm. They were where all of the enterprising play was coming for England.
Exactly.
And I think that's what makes you think maybe Jack Grealish on the other side would have worked well.
Yeah.
And then but when you say that,
yeah,
is it not maybe time for Trent Alexander-Arnold to sit out and Kobbie Mainoo to be preferred in midfield?
No, definitely. I mean, you have to. But unfortunately, I think it's one of those situations where he believes that having a player like Kobbie being thrown into a deep end might be to his detriment. You know, agreed. As a young star, you know, you wanna ease him into the national team. I mean, it is basically first tournament. You know?
And he did make an appearance from the bench.
You know what I mean? So I understand where he's coming from. But I think maybe I'm being harsh on him because usually first games in the tournaments are very, very difficult, you know?
Yeah, but even so, Super Sap, it was actually quite difficult to watch England considering what we were expecting from them. Jude was very composed, very confident, and that's something we know from him. But like I said, Trent is the one person that stood out for me. He's not dynamic enough to be in the mid. I think that Foden is a bit lost a bit. I think he should be given the opportunity to kind of drift and work with Bellingham even more. I could be wrong once again because I don't have all the answers. Like I said again, Saka is perfect sitting there as a 7 and he works very well with Walker there sitting at a 2. But on the other side, Trippier, I don't know. So you tell me.
Yeah, look, like I said, it's still the first game. I think you can't really judge a team based on their first game. We've seen teams struggle in their first game and go on to do wonders in the tournament, you know. So I think I'm keeping an eye on England, you know, as the favorites, you know. I want to see how they're gonna come out in the second game because it was a narrow win, and I think a lot of us thought England was just going to walk past their opponents.
Yep.
Certainly more questions than answers from the England camp right now. Yeah. One of the things I was saying about betting at the Euros and having a lot of fun with the betting is the Pick Your promo that's happening on the Betway app. If you click on that Pick Your promo button on the Betway app, there's 3 promos to choose from. Every day, there's new promos. So you can select one of the promos for one of the 3 fixtures that are happening every day, right? So today I chose the insurance promo for the Portugal game where you can place a bet on the instructions under the Pick Your Promo banner. So place a bet, and today's one was winning margin between Portugal and Czech Republic. So I said that Portugal would win by 2 goals, exactly. But what happens is if my prediction doesn't come correct, that I will get a betting bonus to the value of 50% of my losses. So I recover. So it's like an insurance on that bet. So it's like I have a little bit of a extra free swing on that promo. And it's a lot of fun because it's not like place any bet on. They give you like specific types of bets that you have to be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really fun to like try and have a guess at these different things. And I even got like a free bet earlier in the tournament because of a promo that I won where I placed like a 5 rand bet on France to score first. And they did. And I won that bet. And it was a free bet. It was from my bonus bet. So I didn't even use any of my cash money for that bet. And I topped up my account with it, which was great.
Mm.
So really fun promo. Check it out. If you do enjoy using the Betway app, be sure to head onto the Betway app. And this specifically for this Euro tournament, it's the Pick Your Promo with loads of various options of boost your winnings, bet and get, etc., etc. Check those out on the Betway app. Click on the banner now and place your bets. And like I said, there's new ones every day. So it really is loads and loads of fun.
I have some comments here. Dido West saying that Southgate has to play Mainoo to survive. I do agree. And Super Sub, I mean, your point is also quite valid. And the Big AB saying that Rashford was well needed, is a well-needed option. King said that Foden was available in some spaces where he is dangerous and they were not giving him the ball. And finally, MK De Hustler says, one day we're going to have to talk about Kane. Come to think about it, no one ever blames him when the team performs badly, but he is the captain of the team and he's a nine. He was expecting him to be scoring goals, correct?
Yeah, it's hard.
What do we say about Kane? Are we ready to have that conversation?
I think we discussed this earlier. Harry Kane is one of the more replaceable players in that team, not because he's not a good player. I think Harry Kane is world class.
He's just quality.
He's quality and he's England's all-time record goal scorer. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
And this is a conversation that I was having yesterday with a friend. Sorry, I'm digressing. Yeah. Mm. We're talking about Lukaku, saying how useless Lukaku is. I'm like, look, you know what? I understand the frustration, but strikers miss goals all the time, but Lukaku is not Belgium's number one by a mistake, you know. It's because he's a quality striker.
Yeah.
Strikers miss chances all the time. I'd rather have a striker that missed chances and have a higher conversion rate like Kane.
Yeah. And the thing is, Lukaku gets a lot of chances and I think he'll be as disappointed as anyone with his performance on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He had terrific opportunities to score. He had two goals disallowed. By VAR.
The second one, I think they were really, really harsh. I think that goal should have stood. VAR was a mess in that game. Honestly speaking, in my view.
Yeah, it's certainly not AFCON.
It's definitely not AFCON. I think they can learn a thing or two from AFCON.
That's for sure. I don't think it's often that Europeans look to Africa for football other than for players.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you know, the one thing that is also quite disheartening when you watch the Euros is how, it's so easy to kind of connect the dots between, okay, so he plays, for example, for a city, Rodri, for example, he plays for City and we know where his national team is, you know, and it's just literally next door, you know. And when you watch AFCON, for example, it's literally like K's, you know, away, as opposed to this player playing for AFCON, maybe here in South Africa, but he plays across the border. You know, I find that African players play so far from home. And that is, it's quite disheartening. You know,
yeah,
I think
it would be great for the African club football sides to
improve,
grow. And
you know?
we are seeing improvement. We're seeing players choosing to play for Al Ahly over perhaps some of the smaller European sides, super sub. So I guess we have to be patient with that growth. But I agree with Tepi. And the other thing is, like we were speaking about earlier on, is players with African lineage choosing to play for European countries, for example.
Imagine all the players that have chosen to play for European countries.
France, for example.
If they were playing for their national team of their origins. I mean, if you look at Mbappe in that Malian side.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. If you look at Saka in that Nigerian side.
Paul Pogba,
you know. Lukaku, DRC. You know, if you look at all those players and you look where our African teams are, you can actually see that would have been close to winning a World Cup.
Facts.
Dele Alli is another one that could have played for
There's
an African
so
nation.
Many
There's
of
so
them
many
are...
options yeah. that could so have chosen to play for African countries for
yeah,
their
so
African national
Yeah,
sides.
It seems as though we are, the sole purpose is for us to have a little competitions, great, right? And be included, you know, have one spot, two spots or whatever the case. But we are meant to just export talent.
I'm sure it will grow. I think we've seen it with the likes of the former Crystal players, Wilfred Zaha, for example, choosing Ivory Coast over England, even though he represented England at youth level.
At the junior level,
We need more of those and hopefully it will change and will continue. As Portugal continue to push, as the first half is looking to draw to a close, let's do our Euro Betway picks brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Super sub, Croatia versus Albania.
It's a must win for Croatia or their chances will be dwindling, you know.
Is a tough group. I think that was the group that we picked out saying that one big team is going home.
Yeah.
Because Italy, Spain, Croatia is a tough group.
Yeah.
And Albania weren't walkovers. They made it hard for Italy, and I was blown away with how good Italy were. I thought Italy were fantastic.
They were solid. They were very, very solid.
And I mean, Len did say that they are a bit of a dark horse. And yeah. I mean, I don't even know why we call them a dark horse, because they are a winning
I think it's because
team.
Of Italy's heritage. I mean, yeah. They're the defending champions.
They're the winners. Exactly. Exactly.
Never
a dark horse. But exactly.
I understand why you can refer to them as a dark horse, is because the build-up to this tournament has been poor for Italy. They've been struggling. Oh, it's been new manager, new systems. It's been
and
hard.
And they didn't qualify for the World Cup.
And they didn't qualify for the World Cup. It's been a struggle for Italy. So that's why they're dark horses. But I mean, it's hard to call Italy a dark horse ever, right?
Hardly.
It's Italy and they're defending champions of this tournament. As Leao looks to win the corner kick, as Portugal look to close off the half with that. So Croatia versus Albania, super sub.
I'm going to go for Croatia. Though I just felt like they were... Yeah, they never really got going in that game, you know, and... It's worrying. It could be an end of an era, you know, when you talk about your Perisic, you know, your Modric.
Yes.
You know, all of those stars that they have, you know.
Certainly an aging squad. And this is a Croatia who finished third and second in World Cups, in consecutive World Cups, third and second. As Cristiano Ronaldo fires a shot in on goal, scores remain 0-0 with a save from the goalkeeper. Germany versus Hungary, easiest game to call so far.
Yeah, no.
Tippy, darling.
I mean, we are expecting a strong Germany finish.
Yeah, Hungary certainly aren't the Puskas Hungary of the past.
Mm-mm.
But it's nice to see Hungary back in major tournaments. I think I remember... They disappeared in the 80s and 90s, sort of late 80s, early 90s, disappeared early 2000s, still gone. But at least Hungary are back at major tournaments, and it's nice to see, especially with the success Hungary had in international football in years gone by. So nice to see them there, but certainly not strong enough for this Germany
side.
Yeah,
not strong enough. But you know, the one thing that when I read about Hungary and their new coach, I mean, Ross is their new coach, not Rossi, and how he changed his nationality to even be Hungarian, and how he's motivated the actual squad. And, you know, so there's a story there. Mm. There's some romanticizing that happens there. It might take another competition for them to really show what they have. But they are one team to look out for. I'm not seeing them obviously winning against Germany, but
Yeah, no, I think that's tickets for them, because they lost their first game as the first half draws to a close between Portugal and the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
You see those Czech players coming off the pitch panting, super sub. They've had been made to work really hard to keep Portugal out.
No, definitely. But they've done well to absorb the pressure. You know,
very well.
There haven't really been like a scary moment for them per se. There's been some chances.
Like Ronaldo now at the end, good opportunity. But mostly they've done quite well to keep Portugal at bay.
It will be more of the same second half.
Scotland versus Switzerland. Scotland showed me nothing in that first game against Germany. I think Switzerland are a pretty good side. Switzerland seemed to perform really well at Euros in particular as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
I expect Scotland to go home early.
Yeah, they can just go home and bask in the sun there and have some
whiskey. What sun? It's Scotland.
There's nothing there.
It's summer. They can go to Spain.
I know.
It's just vast, beautiful lands, but that's it.
Yeah, well, just ask some Swiss for some chocolates there. And then duck home.
But yeah, big loss, hey? Switzerland 3-1, 3-2, 4-1, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Slovenia versus Serbia. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. These are sides that impressed me in their first round of games.
Indeed. And people that I personally did not believe were going to be such a headache. I mean, Serbia was a serious headache. We were not expecting our boys.
Denmark, England.
Our Danish boys to really go through what they went through. So I think it's going to be a stalemate though. Serbia performed well, but I think it's going to be a draw.
Super sub, Slovenia, Serbia.
I think Serbia.
It's a tough game to call. They both performed well.
But Serbia was not, there's something that was missing, especially up front. They were not creative enough, you know.
Right.
You know, Mitrovic did not have the supply and all of that. I think I'll change. I think Slovenia.
I say a draw because,
tough game.
And you, Marco, I mean, you keep on just asking us. You have not really given us what your predictions are, my darling.
Okay, let me give you predictions for all the ones that I might have missed. I think Croatia will beat Albania.
Okay.
It won't be comfortable, be a close scoreline.
Mm-hmm.
Germany will thump Hungary, and thump, I think it even might be another five. Switzerland will give 3 or 4 to Scotland as well. And then I fancy Slovenia to edge it over Serbia. I think Slovenia did show more. I agree with Super Sub. They showed ever so slightly more in their fixture. Denmark against England. I expect England to step up and win that game. I don't think Denmark have the quality that England has. And to be fair to Gareth Southgate, his team looks good defensively. You know, you expect them to push and attack and be more enterprising with the quality that they've got in that side, but they're very strong defensively.
Are
I don't
they
think
strong
Denmark
defensively? Are they that strong defensively?
Yeah, no, I think so.
The Danes have, they've got, you know, there's something going on there. You
very
know?
Happy for Christian Eriksen. I mean, it was this tournament 3 years ago where he collapsed on the field
and we
thought his career was over.
Yeah, no.
And for him to come back and score in his first game back in a major tournament once again at the Euros, it shows how far he's come. I mean, from collapsing on the field to playing for Inter, playing for Manchester United, playing back for Denmark and scoring in the Euros once again is quite an impressive feat. So all the best to him. And of course, they do have 1 point. So when they come up against Serbia in their final game, even if they do lose this fixture against England, that could be an opportunity for them to still go through.
Yeah.
Depending on how the Slovenia-Serbia fixture goes as well. And if
they can just pull a surprise,
Yeah. I think that Denmark still will have an opportunity. Even if I expect them to lose this game to England, but I think that they could qualify on the 4 points if they beat Serbia, provided that England finish the group with 9 points, which I'm expecting as well.
Yeah.
Spain versus Italy. Wow.
What a game.
You know what? As good as I thought Spain were in that opening game, and I do think Spain were exceptional.
They were.
I think this is the upset. I think that Italy, defensively, I think they've got a real Rolls Royce of a centre back that all the top clubs should be looking at picking up. What's his name? Ballers, maybe you can help me with this. He's the young centre back for Italy, and he had a great performance.
Bastoni or Calafiori?
Calafiori.
Yes. He's a four. He's not a
sweeper.
He's a four, right?
No, he's a centre back. I mean, I don't think I've seen a sweeper.
Why are you talking
in
old school terms?
Your sweeper. I've not seen a sweeper in a while.
Let me tell you why. I listen to old people, like old analysts. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think you'll get buried nowadays with a sweeper just because of the offside trap.
Mm-hmm.
So you aren't able to play that flat offside line. And that was a very close opportunity from Bruno Fernandes as we watched the highlights from this Portugal fixture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the next round of fixtures. Slovakia versus Ukraine. Slovakia, for you, Super Sub.
Yeah, no, Ukraine have been battered enough, man.
Sure.
Yeah, no, they are not... Yeah, they are not in it.
Just be happy to have made it to the finals, you know.
I don't think they've got the energy. They're just nowhere. They're just nowhere.
I agree. France versus Netherlands. I don't think that Wout Weghorst got Netherlands out of trouble in their fixture. I don't think they showed that much.
Finally, the man can score.
Hey, actually, it was a very good goal.
It was a very good goal.
And I think that France are a much better side. We've been singing the praises of N'Golo Kante. Kylian Mbappe might not be in the side for this game, recovering from a broken nose.
Only God knows.
Just need the mask, man.
Yeah, it's Ninja Turtles mask.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. That was so ridiculous. That was so silly.
So I fancy France to beat Netherlands. I just think they've got that extra quality. Although I'm a big, big fan of Xavi Simons for the Dutch. I think he's got a lot of quality, and I think that there's a lot of clubs that should be looking at him. And obviously, from a young age, we knew how good Xavi Simons was.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't get his opportunity in that Barcelona side, he's a quality player. But I think France just have so much cut and thrust about them. I expect them to be able to break down that Netherlands defense. Turkey, Portugal. Wow. After that game, that changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm still Carlos.
Oh, by the way, Len is saying Italy for the win.
I agree with you, Len. I think Italy will beat Spain.
Len is a big Italian fan.
Yeah.
You will have spaghetti over anything.
I think that's the place where you're going to make your money because the odds are going to be against Italy in this fixture. I think the odds will be with Spain. And I think, but I really fancy Italy to cause an upset there. But I somehow still fancy Spain and Italy to go through. I think, like you said earlier, I think this is the end of the era for Croatia, right? So I think Spain and Italy will still both progress.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
Turkey versus Portugal. Super sub. Carlos, Portugal. Will Portugal to still win that one?
Yeah, no, they're going to win it. I mean, I'm expecting Portugal to go all the way this year.
What a goal from Arda Güler.
Oh, what a goal. What a goal.
Goal of the tournament.
So far, yes.
So far, for me. Stunning strike. Mm-hmm. What a talent Real Madrid have on their hands. How are they going to fit Kylian Mbappe
next year?
They are spoiled for choice.
Shoo. Boy, oh boy, are they? Yeah. Tippy, darling,
they
Turkey, Portugal.
Endrick, hey, guys.
No, it's an easy Endrick. Portugal win.
It's crazy.
An easy Portugal win.
Easy Portugal win, I won't say, but I definitely go with a Portugal win. Belgium versus Romania now.
Romania,
that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Romania winning their earlier fixture 3-0. Belgium, although they created a lot, they weren't able to finish their chances.
No,
lost
they
their
were not.
Game.
Yeah, and it's a must win for Belgium. I mean, as a
Kevin De Bruyne playing on the left, though. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I saw that. But, you know, sometimes he was in the middle.
He needs an absolute free role.
Yeah,
right?
I think he was playing a free role, but I think he had a stellar of a game. But it's one of those where it's not your day. It's not your day. And then Dooku just made that one silly mistake, and it was it. That's
was
how they
curtains.
Lost the game, you know. And he tried everything, you know. It was just not their day, you know. I mean, there was that little incident that happened in the penalty area. The penalty was not awarded, though it was a ball handled in the 18 area, but their ball get handled in the attacking, and then it's called for handball. It was just not in their day, you know.
So I think that's a great way to wrap up our Euro conversation. And let's move on. Teppy, darling, let's go around the world with you.
Let me see what I've got.
Is the engine not warm?
Okay, let's warm it up.
You know what? There's just so much going on. But I do have some stories for you.
So this is Around the World with Teppy Worldwide, brought to you by Betway and the Aviator app. Get away more. Shots, show us once again that Mega Millions prize that you can get with Betway and Aviator. So be sure to be playing the Aviator during the off season now in football, as club football is closed up. It's your opportunity to still have fun on the Betway app and win your share of that 5 million rand grand prize.
All right, let's go straight to Brazil. And this one has made international football news. You know him as Ronaldinho. He is a Brazilian legend. And on Saturday, he lashed out on current squad of Brazil, which are selected really for Copa America. We spoke about it. It will be happening later on in the month, branding them the worst team that has been really put out. He said that it is a sad moment for those who love Brazilian football. It's getting hard to find the spirit to watch the games. He says, and I'm quoting him, this is perhaps one of the worst teams in recent years. It has no respectable leaders, only average players for the majority. Okay, so before we go as far as giving you the clap back, because it was a clap back, thoughts on this one? Considering also, and I believe that he has a responsibility, he knows, you know, that whatever it is that he says, especially about his team, is going to have negative impact on the players and the national team at large. Marco, thoughts on this one?
Sure. I'm a big fan of Ronaldinho as a player. I think that he was the greatest player to watch ever of all time. I think that
for me as well,
Diego Maradona was that before him. I think Maradona was the ultimate entertainer before Ronaldinho. But Ronaldinho is really the entertainer, like in terms of skill and quality.
Entertainment in football.
My goodness. He's the epitome. Mm-hmm. No one had the natural ability of Ronaldinho. But he's bang out of order on this one. What a squad Brazil have. I mean, you're talking about them after a build-up game-friendly performance like that ahead of a Copa. I mean, bang out of order. I know that we're going to get to the clapback, etc. after this. But, I mean, Martinelli, Endrick, Rodrigo, Vinicius Jr., Lucas Paqueta, Douglas Luiz, Bruno Guimarães, Pepe, Edison, Alisson, Gabriel, Marquinhos, Danilo. This is a quality side. Eder Militao. This is a quality Brazil side.
It is a quality Brazilian side, but I think where he's coming from is that they haven't really managed to do anything, you know. And I don't know if whether he was trying to give them hard love and thinking that being
a tough love,
thinking that it's going to motivate them, you know. And let's be honest. I mean, I think it was Len who was also saying this in the show that Brazil is no longer Brazil that we all know that breeds stars, you know, and... Mm.
I mean, Anthony's not in the side. I would have agreed with Ronaldinho if he was. Right?
And I mean, okay, so Brazil...
Antonio always get, you know...
He's not safe from me ever.
I never. But look, I mean, I think he was out of line for a player, for a legend that he is.
That's what
and
I'm saying.
For what he represents. He's a good ambassador for Brazilian football, you know. And for him to go out and say that, I think it was a little bit...
Bang out of order.
It was out of order, you know. If he felt that they were not doing enough, he could have, I think he's got means to say, hey guys, I think you are great. I think you can do better, you know. I think he's got means to get into that dressing room, you know. I don't know how the setup is like, but I think him being Ronaldinho, he's got means to access the players, you know what I mean?
Yes, so a clapback came, and the clapback was saying, and in fact, I just want to find the name of the player, but I'm sure you
but
guys know him.
But he did pull
him.
Back, Ms.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, yes.
After,
but that
after
is,
the criticism.
After the
yeah.
criticism, and it was said that I just want to find the name of the player. He is here somewhere. Oh, yes, Rafinha. Yes, Rafinha. And Rafinha saying that, oh, that's interesting. You know, he's talking so badly about us, but he's the same person who was asking Vinny for tickets to matches. So how is it that he's the same person who's speaking ill of our squad?
Mm.
Yeah, so it shows that he's asking for tickets, shows that he still has interest towards them. And then he goes to say, so he was just exposing the hypocrisy of Ronaldinho that you're saying you don't want to watch us, but you're asking for
and
tickets.
Then Ronaldinho apologized after this.
Yeah.
So I think, look, all we can hope for is that Ronaldinho was trying to do some sort of clever, tough love.
Yeah.
No,
and it
guys.
Backfired.
No,
it
guys, backfired. The actual story is this. It's not even tough love. Because remember that he did it on it was actually an ad for a deodorant. So all of that was done as some type of PR. So he got paid for that.
Ooh.
And we know that he's been having financial difficulties.
Hey, he likes
so he
to
was
party
willing
that
to basically.
Is it in trouble?
Oh, guys, remember the other time at the airport? Anyway, so he was basically trying to get, you know, a bag by negging his own team and only then to come back and say, no, man, guys, I didn't mean it that way. It was actually a joke.
Guys, we thought we were safe from a Len Moleko rant today, but here he is in the comments. This is a Len Moleko rant to you by Betway. Get way more.
Let's go, my friend.
Super Sub
him.
Will always defend City players.
When did I defend City players? Did I?
Kevin De Bruyne saying that he had a stellar game, but he was poor. That's what Len Moleko means.
Was he poor?
I thought he was, actually, to be fair. I'm agreeing with Len's rant here. Brazil doesn't have superstars anymore. They have average players. Ronaldo R9 is better than Ronaldinho. I mean, better as a player, yes, but not more entertaining, Len Moleko. And he was right. He needed to say it as a World Cup winner. That was a Len Moleko rant brought to you by Betway. Even when he can't be here, he can rant. The man's got a skill. Thank you. Danko Len. Tepi, let's move on to more worldwide.
Thank you very much, my friend. I miss you so much. And this one is not even, I'm just going to include it in here. It is about the organizing of the AFCON, the International Football Tournament for the women as well as the men's. There's a scheduling nightmare here in Africa. I'm going to read it to you and then I'm going to give you some context and then you can just tell me what your thoughts are. It says here that organizers of Africa's premier men's and women's international football tournaments have admitted they face a scheduling nightmare But dates for forthcoming editions are closer to being agreed on. During a rare in-depth interview, Veron Mosenga-Omba, the General Secretary of the Confederation of African Football, which is CAF, promised that an announcement of the 2024 Women's African Cup of Nations, the WAFCON, in Morocco will arrive by the end of this month, revealing that there is a strong chance it could be switched to next year. So chances are it might not happen this year. It might then happen next year. It also says that Mosenga-Omba confirmed that CAF could stage the 2025 AFCON, also said to be hosted by Morocco, is going to be early 2026 because of the timing of FIFA's new 32-team Club World Cup in June and July next year. So there are going to be some changes. They're not sure as yet. He also did mention that because most of the players, especially the women, play overseas, and a scheduling issue might be a bit of a challenge.
There's just so many football being played right now.
Yeah, I think that... it's always disappointing with women's football when there's like some sort of administrative issues, which just as we hopeful for the sport, for women's football to grow and to be viewed more, etc., that they're running into these sort of stumbling blocks is disappointing. But in saying that, it's too early to say for this because they're still trying to figure out dates. They're still trying to see what's going to happen and what they're going
to
do.
But doesn't it start to seem, Marco, that continental showpieces, you know, are the ones that take precedence, and we kind of have to then just follow what happens.
From an African perspective, perhaps. I mean, there's already a difficulty in the financial side of things for women's football in general. So women's African football suffers tenfold.
And even men's in this case.
So, yeah, absolutely. So let's see. I think it's too early to say until there's actual real clear indication of what's going to happen. Mm. But it is disappointing, especially for women's football, just as it's starting to grow. That it runs into these sort of stumbling blocks that impede it from becoming the sport that it deserves to be.
Very, very quickly, I'm going to close off with a very, very sad one. Heartbreaking news that Millwall and Montenegro goalkeeper Matija Sakic has tragically passed away at the tender age of 26. So
yeah, very sad.
To him.
Yeah, condolences to Matija Sakic from Montenegro and Millwall, formerly of Wolves as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 26-year-old, he's a baby, man. That's very, very sad news, and condolences to all those involved from his professional career and personal life as well.
And that's all we have for you worldwide.
Thank you, darling. That was Around the World by Tepi Worldwide, brought to you by Aviator and Betway. Get way more. Remember to play the Aviator game and get your hands on part of that big 5 million rand giveaway, where you can get it simply by playing Aviator. Even if you lose, you can go into the draw for that mega 5 million rand, or at least for a share of that 5 million rand promo, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Okay, so moving on, I'm going to skip over Premier League. I mean, just two quick little things. Seamus Coleman's still in the league for another season. How on earth,
man?
Right? He's becoming old. but he was a real quality fullback, and he's a real servant to Everton. So maybe he deserves an extra season if he feels
so
he's
too
ready to play it. And then the big news coming out this week, Fabian Hürzeler, the German youngster, I mean, born in 1993, you're expecting him to sign for a Premier League club as a player born in 1993. Nope, he's a manager.
Yeah.
Youngest manager in Premier League history. This is going to be an interesting one. He's proven his worth in Bundesliga, I believe.
May I ask, is he affiliated or friends somewhere, somehow with Pep?
that's normally how you get worked, but no, I don't believe so. Unless he learned from Pep on Football Manager or something, because that seems to be the way to get a job in football now, is be good at Football Manager, the video game, right? Sure, 1993 is young.
It's young,
but I mean,
I think
he must
and
have, like, some serious
his former club was paying penalties on it was the French club, right? He was the manager in the French league, something like that. I'll look it up now. Ballers will actually update me on this.
Yes.
And the club was paying penalties because he didn't have his UEFA licenses. So they were paying massive penalties every game for having him as their manager, even though he didn't have the correct licenses. And they were prepared to pay those penalties because they were so fond of him. And let's see. Brighton always seemed to replace an outgoing manager that's the talk of the town. And... you know, like Graham Potter was the talk of the town, outgoing manager. Mm. How are they going to replace him? De Zerbi comes in and does even better. And then De Zerbi, talk of the town. How are they going to replace him? De Zerbi looks like he's off to Olympique Marseille. And, you know, what are we going to see next season? Let's see. You know,
Definitely.
We can only see with that first fixture coming up in a couple months' time. Len Moleko, Marco, your thoughts on Erik ten Hag getting an extension? I mean, we know my thoughts are that the manager isn't the issue at the club. The issues are systemic. So whether it was him or somebody else, I think there's other bigger problems to solve. But I don't mind. I don't mind that he stayed. I think it's a very good move from Ineos to keep some stability in place and stick with a manager who, let's be honest, we'd be killing for Erik ten Hag at the moment if we had another manager and performed so badly and he was still at Ajax doing the things he did. He can't all of a sudden overnight become a bad manager. It's a problem in the systemic issue of the club, and I think Ineos is aware of this, and I think they're trying to sort it out, and they know that Erik ten Hag could be their man. So, yeah, Len, those are my thoughts on ten Hag staying. To be honest, I wouldn't be unhappy if he left, but I'm also not unhappy that he stayed. That's the on-the-fence answer I can give you. Super Sub,
Yabu.
DStv Premiership.
Oh, by the way, Fabian's old team is FC St. Pauli, a German football club.
German.
Based in Hamburg.
Hamburg, right. Thank you, darling. Super Sub,
yeah.
Three-horse race for that last DStv Premiership spot. We know your thoughts on...
Barocca.
Not Barocca. On... the outgoing DStv, the supposedly outgoing DStv side in Richards Bay. They are in the prime seat for tomorrow evening to stay in the DStv Premiership.
Yeah, they are. And usually these teams that comes from that finished 15th tend to win the playoffs. You know?
Yeah, because they've got...
You know, and I think the playing field is not level, and that's why I've got an
issue with that. We did see last season, though, that Cape Town Spurs came up in this playoff thing. So it does happen, but it's not an even playing field, you're right.
It's not fair at all, you know. They've got advantages to bigger sponsorship, you know.
Resources,
you know, bigger stipend, you know, and all of that. They can pull some strings, you know. In terms like this, they can even bring some serious medical team to help, you know, to help the team get through these fixtures. So,
and they play fewer games than the Motsepe Foundation over the course of the season, right?
So,
depending on the cup competitions, of course.
But obviously, yes, they play more in terms of cup competitions if you are up there, because Carling Black Label, you do play. And then it's
Nedbank Cup,
you know, but unless you finish in top eight, you're going to play all of them, you know. So I think it's a little bit unfair. I'm hoping that Barocca can win tomorrow.
Yeah, so
I've been saying it.
Get your calculators out. Explain the permutation, Super Sub. I read it as 1-0 is one thing, a draw is one thing, a loss is 2-0 is another thing.
So Barocca, in order for Barocca to stand a chance, they need to win by two goals.
By two clear goals. 2-0, 3-1,
yes.
4-2, any of those results which we never see,
yeah.
Big score lines. Yeah. But it's always a possibility. It's football, right?
Ooh,
as Cristiano
Barocca.
Ronaldo has a prime opportunity after the cross from Bruno Fernandes in this one. Sorry for all the distractions. So Barocca can qualify for the DStv Premiership. So this is the final game in the playoffs, Super Sub. It's the final game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
If Barocca win by two clear goals, they are through and they are in the DStv Premiership next season.
That's it.
However, if they're unable to win by two clear goals, they're out.
They're out.
If they win by one clear goal, so 1-0, 2-1, 3-2,
yeah,
then we see Amatax qualify for the DStv Premier. Your smile is big. This is what you're hoping for. I can see on your face.
So Barocca just needs to go and beat Richards Bay tomorrow for me.
And then if Richards Bay have either a draw or a win from this fixture, They keep their status as a DStv Premiership club. So that's,
and then we basically stuck with them for another season.
Stuck with them. Phew, it's harsh, guys. You know what the thing is?
No, Marco. Mm-mm.
You guys are going to hate me again because you're going to say, ah, oh, but it's a whole season. Richards Bay, their run-in was so impressive.
Where?
The last part of the
season.
The last part of the season,
they lost five games, lost six games or something, was so impressive. Super sub, surely. Hey, the run-in was incredible via Richards Bay. And that is Ronaldo territory for this free kick.
Yeah.
And a yellow card. Czech Republic really starting to struggle against Portugal. They're creating more and more chances. So, yeah, that's your breakdown for tomorrow's final DStv Premiership playoff match between Baroka FC and Richards Bay.
It's crazy because all those teams can actually...
yeah, it's great that there's all these permutations. Yeah. We as South Africans, we always say this. We love our calculators out. So best of luck to Baroka FC for that one, especially from Super Sub's stance. Ballers, let us know who you want to go through. But... that brings us to a close for our
list. Guys, I have a question. Actually, yes, I was checking out some stats very quickly. Who do you think 0 to 1? Okay, is 0 to 1? Yes, it should be 0 to 100 kilometers per hour. Who do you think is the fastest player, or who has the highest? Who has the highest top speed?
Oh, it's easy
today in Euro. Like we're talking about Euro.
It has. Oh, we've touched on this. It has.
Who is it now?
It has to be Walker.
I'm talking about based on like, so far the in most the tournament, matches.
Kyle
yes.
Walker.
Kyle Walker.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's no, who Walker I think.
Very quick. Okay, it's quick.
You seem disappointed. Did we get it right?
No, because I actually saw that Mbappe was the fastest.
Was he the fastest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was the obvious answer.
Yeah, it
sure.
Could be.
25 kilometers per hour.
35
kilometers per hour.
That's his top
speed. Oh, my goodness.
No, but Kyle Walker, if you can check that, I think it's like 36.
Friend, I'm getting these.
No. But this is so far in the tournament.
I'm talking about from the beginning of the tournament. Oh, like, okay.
Well, what blew me away was Ida Gula's goal. The ball was traveling at 118 kilometers per hour when it hit the net.
Than an average car.
And there they're in. No, you're supposed to shoot there. You should be shooting.
Can we say goodbye to the bowler so you guys
Bernardo
can watch
Bernardo Silva, guys, thank you so much. Tepi, darling, thank you. Super Sub, thank you so much as always. And thank you to you, the ballers. And our biggest thank you is to Betway, as we have now announced. We have had that awesome renewal. Thank you, Betway, as part of the Onside family once again. And forever in our hearts, no matter what, I promise you that. So this was Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Remember to stay onside with me, Marco Martins, Tepi Worldwide, Super Sub, and Len Moleko. And remember, don't be offside. Be onside with us in Betway.
Boop, 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 boop.
Danko.
That's you.